Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Daniel. The Old Testament book of Daniel and Daniel in chapter number 7. The book of Daniel and chapter number 7. We are finishing up this series of the names of God, and we're exploring the different names of God that are used, found throughout the Old Testament, as we're specifically looking at God Himself. And we've spent the last couple messages in the book of Daniel, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and once again we find our way in the book of Daniel, finding some of these unique names of God that are revealed in the book of Daniel. In Daniel chapter number 7, we are continuing to see God reveal His plan for the world empires and the future. I do have a chart on the very back by the sound desk, if you've never gotten that chart on Daniel before. But remember that Daniel chapter 7 is going to be a parallel passage, meaning it's giving the similar information as Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, we saw Nebuchadnezzar with that great dream of the different images that it had, a head of gold, and then after that it had a chest and arms of silver, then it had a belly of, it had a belly of something, and then legs of brass, legs of iron, and that was to be a picture of the future world empires from Daniel's day, from Babylon all the way down to Rome. In Daniel chapter 7, God is now repeating that information, this time with a vision given to Daniel, and it's given in a little bit different form, but it is covering the same information about the world empires. Now, whenever God repeats something, especially in a major way like this, this is going to be important. Now, we have the privilege of hindsight that most of the stuff that is told here in Daniel chapter 7 and in Daniel chapter 2 is now our history. We now have it as history inside of the history books. There are some of it still remaining to be fulfilled, and we can have confidence in what needs to be fulfilled by the evidence of what had already been fulfilled. We have the confidence that God will keep His word by seeing He has already kept His word. If you don't mind, I'm going to start right in the middle of it. So he has the dreams about the various beasts. And then in verse number 9, Daniel chapter 7, verse 9, we start to get the interpretation of this dream. And with it, we have a unique name of God that is brought up that we're going to pay attention to in the midst of this teaching. Daniel chapter 7, and notice with me in verse number 9. Daniel chapter 7 and verse number 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head were as pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels were as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from him, from before him, thousands of thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and the judgment was set, and the books were open. I beheld then, because of the great voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body was destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. And I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him for the truth of all of this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with his feet, and of the 10 horns that were on his head, and of the others which came, and before whom 3 fell, even that horn which had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came when the saints possessed the kingdom. And he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 kings out of his kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue the 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws till they be given into his hand to tell a time and times and dividing of times. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy to the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Here too is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cognitions were much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, will you mark a special and unique name of God that's mentioned in Daniel chapter 7 3 different times? Daniel chapter 7, notice with me the first listing in verse 9, Ancient of Days. Once again in verse 13, the name of God, Ancient of Days. Then once again in verse number 22, we see the name of God repeated, Ancient of Days. And with the Lord's help, we're going to study or see the name of God, the Ancient of Days, inside of the context he has revealed itself here, and see the Ancient of Days, the God who rules over time and empires. The God who rules over time and empires. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, I'm asking that you would give us grace and mercy and help us, Lord, as we examine this passage, a very important passage within Scripture that sets up the framework of all of history. We know that this is important, but in the midst of all of the details, in the midst of you setting up the framework of history, we see you, God, sitting on your throne in charge, and a God who is the God who judges everything. We're asking that we would see you high, holy, and lifted up. We know that this is a big deal because when Daniel saw this, it troubled him many days. It affected his countenance. It affected him. This message should affect every single one of us. Lord, only you by your Spirit can do that. Do not have the words. I don't have the skill to speak like this. But Lord, if we see you as you truly are, as you reveal yourself here, it should change the way that we see ourselves and understand that we will stand before this God, the judge of all the universe, the Ancient of Days, and it should affect our spirits. Lord, help us even now. Fill me with your Spirit and you do your own work. In Jesus' name, amen. Daniel Daniel chapter 7 is a very important part of Scripture. In the book of Daniel, we have what we call the framework of all of prophecy. That if you were to put together a puzzle, you, if you're an intelligent person, starts with the frame first. Then you know that everything that's left over fits inside of that frame. Well, the book of Daniel gives us the framework of all prophecy. This is where Bible prophetic preachers and teachers go off, is that they do not use the framework of Daniel. And if you don't have a frame, you just put the puzzle pieces wherever you want, and they end up having puzzle pieces that do not fit a biblical model. This is why Daniel is such an important book if you're going to study prophecy, because again, it sets up history, our history, and it sets up future events. Now, because Daniel 7 has so much information, I am not going to go through the intricacies of this. I have done this before in our creation seminar. I have a chart in the back. I have other things. Now, I'm going to mention it, but we're not going to study it verse by verse to glean the teaching of the end times or history from it. I am going to survey it and overview it, but our main focus tonight is to study the name of God that God has revealed himself of the Ancient of Days. And this backdrop of one of the most important parts of setting up the order of history shows that there's a God who's on the top of the food chain. He is sitting on his throne. He's in charge of all history, all prophecy, all time, and he is sitting on the throne, calm, in charge, and never out of control. This is the image that we have of the Ancient of Days. We have here the God who has everything well in hand. That should give us all comfort, because we all have things that throw us from a loop, whether it's a medical issue, a financial issue, a family issue, any type of issue that comes up. We could easily start panicking. We could easily get into the Chicken Little, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, and run around and panicking and freaking out. But God never gets to that state, because he is sitting on the throne. He is in charge of history. He knows the end from the beginning. He does not have to freak out. He doesn't have to lose his mind. He doesn't have to pull out his hair. He doesn't have to call a friend. He is in charge. He is sitting on the sphere of all of history that sits in the palm of his hand. He is in charge. This should affect us quite a bit. If you could allow me to jump to the application of Daniel. Remember, the best application is Bible application. How did this affect Daniel? Well, just look, verse 15. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. It shook him up. What shook him up? The Ancient of Days being in charge, and what it meant. Verse 28, and here too is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cognitions much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me. But I kept the matter in my heart. The prophecy is a big deal, but it wasn't just the prophecy. It was seeing the Ancient of Days who was in charge the entire time. Seeing in a time of unstableness, a stable factor. We know that in here, the Bible interprets itself that this is going to be a picture of the world empires. If you're not familiar with it, let me just take some time to run it back. That at the time of Daniel, chapter number 2, Babylon is the world empire, and Nebuchadnezzar sits at the very top. However, the Babylonian world empire will not last forever. It is replaced, it is conquered, it is destroyed by the Persian Empire. Then the Persian Empire will rule for a little while, and then it will be conquered, it will be destroyed, it will be disheaved by the Greek Empire. And then the Greek Empire will be conquered, it will be destroyed, it will be thrown out of whack by the Roman Empire. All of these world empires are trying to battle each other, fight, conquer, be bigger than the rest. When that happens, there's a lot of unsettledness to watch these world empires fight. And knowing which one wins will affect you because they're a world empire, not just a regional empire on the other side of the universe. To the people it affects here, which empire is in charge affects history. If you could allow me a little asterisk, that's why it's important for you to know the world empires, because the empire that's in charge affects Bible history. If Egypt's in charge, it affects Bible history in a certain way. If the Assyrians are in charge, it affects Bible history in a certain way. If the Babylonians are in charge, it affects Bible history in a certain way. If the Persians are in charge, it affects Bible history in a certain time. If the Greeks are in charge, it affects what happens in between the two testaments. Very, very much. Daniel speaks a lot about the Greeks ruling during that time and how it messed with Israel. And then the Romans very much affected world history. The Romans being in charge, you cannot separate that from the New Testament days. And so knowing the world empires is important as a Bible student, as someone to read the Bible. If you don't know the world empires, you should. Because you need to know how those world empires affect the Bible events. They do. The Bible was not written in a bubble. It was not written separate from the rest of the world. It was very much influenced and affected by who was in charge. In fact, we're at Christmas time. Why in the world did Joseph and Mary go? Because the Roman government sent a tax. World empires affected biblical events. If it wasn't for that, Jesus would not be born in Bethlehem. It's almost like God allowed the Roman government to send a tax to get Jesus in Bethlehem so it could be born in Bethlehem just like he promised it would. God is in charge. That's just another emphasis that we see all over the Bible. God is in charge of all of history. Now, again, we get to the place where we get the bill and we freak out. We get the email. We get the text. We deal with the person at Christmas that we wish wouldn't show up. And it messes us up. It freaks us out. And we have the person at work and now they've aggravated us so much. But God is not affected. He is sitting on the throne. When the rest of the world is in chaos, he is in charge. That is the idea of him being the Ancient of Days, is that we can always look up from the turmoil, from the chaos, from everything that's going wrong with the world, and see a God who is still sitting on the throne. The Bible makes mention of this principle of God being in charge all throughout the Bible. Psalm 90, verse 2, Moses declared, "Before the mountains brought forth, or even thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." Isaiah makes mention of this, describing him as the high and lofty one that inhabits in eternity. We saw that in the book of Isaiah. Revelation calls them the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. All of these have the idea that God is outside of time and that he is in charge. The Ancient of Days is speaking about a name of God, this title where he is sitting on the throne. The rest of the world could be on chaos, and we can look up and see that there's a God who's in charge. So with that in mind, and seeing the backdrop, we can't separate the name of God from the backdrop. The backdrop is the world empires conquering one to another. The turmoil, the raising up, the prophecy, the future, the history, all of that, that we're just seeing that the world history is not just a stable flat line. It is chaos and bubbling and fighting each other. And high above that is the Ancient of Days sitting on the throne. May I show you three things from this passage here about the Ancient of Days. The first thing I want to show you is that the Ancient of Days reigns unchallenged. The Ancient of Days reigns unchallenged. Notice with me in verse number 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head were like wool, pure wool, and his throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels were as burning fire. And a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands. That's a lot, by the way. This is a different way of saying a thousand thousands. That's a million. That's a lot. Ministered before him, and 10,000 times 10,000. It's trying to show this innumerable amount of people stood before him. And the judgment was set and the books were open. Notice all of these thousands and millions and billions of people, and it's God that's in charge. He's unchallenged. No one's trying to dethrone him. Everyone is at his feet. Notice again, verse 11. And I beheld because of the voice of the great words which the horn spoke, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body was destroyed, given to the burning flame. What is he talking about? Well, as the Bible is talking about world history, we know that we had the Babylonians. The Babylonians were replaced by the Persians. The Persians were replaced by the Greeks. The Greeks were replaced by the Romans. However, the Roman Empire never was conquered. The Roman Empire collapsed in itself, and what was left was Roman-derived governments. What does that mean? It means that the rest of Western civilization was influenced by Rome. Our laws, our thought, our process of doing things, even our architecture is based off of Roman design and thought. That Rome collapsed when it was not conquered, and all that's left is the rest of Western civilization that is still dependent, relied, influenced by Roman culture. And because of that, one day the Bible speaks about that the tribulation is going to happen, and the Antichrist is going to sit, and he is going to declare himself to be God. And he is going to try to overthrow God and try to destroy God's people. And the Bible says that the Antichrist, this is what it's speaking about in verse number 11, where it talks about, I beheld till the beast was slain and his body was destroyed and given to the burning flame, that Satan is going to be cast into hell and everything. God is going to defeat him and set him aside. Verse 12, as concerning the rest of the beast, meaning the rest of the world empires that were pictured earlier in Daniel 7, they had their dominion taken away, yet the lives were prolonged for a season of time. So they ruled for a while, but then they went to pass, and they went away. But remembered, none of them were over to overtake God, because he set up his kingdom. Notice with me in verse 13. And I saw in the night visions and beheld one like the Son of Man. Remember, we just used that idea, the Son of Man. One of Jesus' favorite titles for himself, the Son of Man. Came with the clouds of heaven. And by the way, Jesus is coming in the clouds to come down to rule and reign. And came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. So if you could imagine this scene, they bring Jesus to God. I know Jesus is God, but this is an understanding of what's going on. So Jesus comes to the Ancient of Days. Then the Ancient of Days, in verse 14, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom. So the Ancient of Days gave Jesus a dominion, a glory, and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is that which shall not be destroyed. Verse number 14 is the millennial kingdom where Jesus Christ will rule and reign forever. So what kingdom is going to last? Not the Persians, not the Greeks, not the Babylonians, not the Romans. Jesus' kingdom is what's going to last. All those other ones will not stand. It is Jesus' kingdom who will reign unchallenged. This Ancient of Days will be in charge. This Ancient of Days is going to rule his kingdom, and nothing will conquer it. Where the rest of the other kingdoms were conquered, destroyed, and collapsed, Jesus' kingdom will not. The Ancient of Days rules unchallenged. But a second thing, and a very important thing, is the Ancient of Days judges righteously. The Ancient of Days judges righteously. Now, what disturbed Daniel the most? Was it just that God was ruling? No, it's understanding that God that rules and sees everything and is not replaced, is not conquered, is also going to judge all of us. This Ancient of Days who sees everything will judge us. We're going to stand before his throne and worship him. We're going to stand before his throne and give an account. Notice again in verse number 11. And a fiery, verse 10, a fiery stream issued and came forth before him. A thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and judgment was set, and the books were open. Notice the word books. This is a little bit outside of teaching, but we'll do it anyways. The Bible describes that there's three different books that we're judged from. There is, for the idea of sin, there's three books that we're judged from. First of all is the book of works. And in that book of works, it shows all of our works. You say, well, that sounds good. Yes, but the Bible also says that all of our works are as filthy rags. This is showing all of our failures, everything that we've done wrong, and we deserve judgment. That's not the book we want. Next to it, we have the book of life. Now, the book of life, anyone who has ever conceived is in the book of life. But if you die without accepting Jesus as your Savior, your name's blotted out of that book of life. And so if you die without accepting Jesus as your Savior, they'll look and see, nope, your roll's not in here. Your name's not in the roll. You're being judged by the book of works. You're going to be sentenced to hell. There's one more book speaking about the judgment of sin is the Lamb's book of life. And in that's Jesus' personal journal of everyone who ever accepted him as Savior. And the Bible says that no man can be blotted out of that. You can't be erased from that. That's his personal journal of everyone who's ever trusted in him. Isn't that great? That's the name we want. We want to be written in that book. Jesus' personal journal of all of us who have accepted him as our Savior. Now we know that him being our judge, that there's a different judgment for us Christians. For us Christians, when we stand before God, we're not going to be judged for our sin. That's a different judgment. When we stand before God as Christians, we're going to be judged for our labor for the Lord and our motive for doing it. Now, this is a big deal to know that everything that I do is going to be judged, evaluated by God. You're like, well, if we're not being judged for our sins, why is this such a big deal? Well, no one likes to be judged. Let me give an example. I used to play trumpet, and I used to play trumpet for competition. And I was always nervous before playing trumpet for competition. Why? Was it because the judges were, if I played really bad, were going to beat me up, tie me up, throw me back in the bunk, back of a trunk, and then drop me off in the desert? No. Was there anything bad going to happen to me? No. But it's always a fearful thing to be evaluated. And God is going to evaluate. Now, what is fearful about this? Because there's so many things I don't want to admit to. There are so many things I want to pretend everything's fine. I want to put on a facade. I want to lie. I want to convince everyone that everything's fine. Nothing's wrong with me. Nothing's wrong with my family. Nothing's wrong with the issue. Nothing's wrong. Everything's all right. And you could try to fool some people, but I guarantee you're fooling less people than you think. But you will not fool God. And you're going to stand before him, and he is going to have an honest view of your life, and you're going to be held accountable. No excuses. There's nothing we could do to say, well, God, the reason why I sinned, the reason why I didn't raise my kids right, the reason why I didn't do this right, the reason why I wasn't the right wife, the right husband, you cannot excuse it. In fact, there's nothing you can do but say, yes, sir. And that's a scary thing, to have all of our excuses taken away. To realize we're going to be evaluated and judged by the perfect judge. No wonder Daniel, this affected him. You know, Daniel was one of the two men in the Bible that nothing bad was said about. Joseph of the Old Testament and Daniel are the only two human beings that was given any press time, meaning, you know, any significant amount of passages, that nothing bad was said about them. And yet Daniel, who the Bible says nothing bad about, it affected him to see that there's a God who's in charge, who is not swayed with politics, not swayed with excuses, not swayed with social media, that is going to evaluate and judge me with a clear view, because he's outside of time, he's in control of time, and I will have no excuse. This is the judge who will evaluate me. No wonder in a different passage here, it said Daniel was sick for many days afterwards. Why? I'm going to stand before God. This is serious. This is a big deal. In fact, notice with me, if you don't mind, is verse number 26. But judgment shall sit, and they that take away his dominion to consume and destroy to the end. Notice, but the judgment shall sit. Once again, it is speaking about God is in charge, and he is going to be the one that judges. All of the world empires are going to come and go, but there's only one God who will be the evaluator. Only one God who will discern and see everything that we've done. And we will give an account. No excuses. No blaming someone else. When you stand before God, you're not standing with your husband, not with your pastor, not with your parents. You're standing by yourself. Standing before a God who's on the throne, who sees everything. By the way, dear friend, if this doesn't stir you up, if this doesn't affect you, there's something bad wrong. The greatest day you will ever have as a Christian is the day you realize your own personal accountability to the Lord. And it is a day that so many Christians don't reach. They don't realize they're going to stand before God and how serious it is. They would rather play games. They would rather obfuscate. They would rather deflect. They would rather try to convince everyone that everything's all right. Don't look at me. My life's perfect, when it's clear it's not. And God sees even more clear. That one day this Ancient of Days is going to evaluate and judge every single one of us. If you don't mind, one more thing. This Ancient of Days gives the kingdom to a son. This Ancient of Days gives the kingdom to a son. Now, I've already kind of spoiled the end of it, but Jesus is the one who inherits this. Verse 14, it was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not be passed away. And his kingdom is that which shall not be destroyed. Once again in verse 18, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Verse 22, until the Ancient of Days come, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the kingdom came to the saints, possessed the kingdom. Once again in verse number 27, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the heaven and earth were given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. All of this passage is putting this emphasis, all of history leading to the event of Jesus Christ coming to rule and reign on this earth. And we as saints get to rule and reign with him. It's a big deal that Jesus wins. I don't have to fear the news. I don't have to fear what the Middle East is doing. I don't have to fear what Russia is doing. I don't fear what North Korea is doing. I don't have to fear what my neighbor's doing. Jesus Christ is going to win, and he's going to sit on the throne. And as me as a saint get to rule and reign with him. I'm glad that I read the end of the book, or in this case, the middle of the book, and see Jesus won. I'm on the winning side. And I could trust in him. I could take comfort and confidence in this. I'm on that side. And I want to ask you, are you really on that side? You could accept Jesus as your Savior, but are you working for his kingdom, or are you working for your own kingdom? That's kind of the idea here. Which dominion are you laboring for? Which dominion are you serving? Are you trying to build your own kingdom, your own dominion? You're trying to fight the whole world so you could have your little piece of the pie? Or are you setting aside the now and working for the tomorrow, working for the future, working for God's kingdom, investing in the future where it's going to matter and where it's going to last? You cannot serve two masters. Jesus was clear on this, because you either hate the one and love the other. But you cannot serve. You either serve Christ or you serve yourself. You either serve for his kingdom in the future or you serve for your kingdom now. The idea of the Ancient of Days is a very big one. And as it affected Daniel, it should affect us. Woe unto anyone who walks out these doors and this message doesn't do anything. Woe unto you if you walk out the doors and tomorrow you said, I don't know what I heard at church last night. You are in danger. That is a scary spot to be, because the Bible is giving a clear indication to a prophet who is paying attention. This should affect us. The idea of the Ancient of Days isn't the idea of God as some elderly grandfather who's senile, long beard, sitting on the throne, who doesn't remember what he had for breakfast. The Ancient of Days is the one who's outside of time, who's sitting on the throne and has a good view of everything that happens clearly. This Ancient of Days is the one that's in charge, and we could trust him because he's sitting on the throne. This Ancient of Days is the one who's going to judge all humans, every single person, for their sin, first of all, if they didn't accept Christ. And for those of you, us who have accepted Christ, judge for what we did for the Lord and our motives. And this Ancient of Days, he is going to have an everlasting kingdom. Are we serving for that kingdom? Or are we just trying to live for our kingdom now? When we see the Ancient of Days, we see that our kingdom is nothing. Just like these other world empires that came and they went. They had their time for a season, but they were all perished and gone away. So will your kingdom. All the things that you work for this temporary life, will not stand. Only what we do for that, for Christ, will last. If Jesus is truly the Ancient of Days and truly the one who's going to rule the kingdom forever and ever and have an everlasting dominion, that's the kingdom we should be working for, investing, looking forward to, and preparing for. The Ancient of Days is a very big, important name. And in the midst of this context, again, Daniel 7 is a very big one to talk about the framework of prophecy, to put the framework correctly. But so many times we look at the framework and we miss God. So many times we're studying about the second coming of Christ without studying the Christ of the second coming. Amen. We're so busy looking for signs and season that we miss what happens when it gets here. We're going to stand before the Ancient of Days. Every person will. And they must give an account. Which kingdom are you laboring for? Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time
to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.